Welcome to the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. This is Mark Steven Schwartz, and it is both an honor and a privilege for me to read the diaries from Allied and American civilian prisoners of war interned in and around Kobe, Japan during the Great Pacific War, World War II. This is episode number 18.
March 23rd, 1942, Harold Brinckerhoff. 2 months have passed since we arrived here at the Seaman's Mission. Time has gone much faster here than in Guam. I guess it's because of our library. It's pleasant today. I'm sitting in my room writing. Heretofore, it's been too cold. The mosquitoes buzzed around some last night. We were told they get pretty bad in the summertime. Our food has been exceptionally good the last few days. Some of the fellows say it's because the Japs want us to leave with a good word about our treatment. They are sure we're going to go on the exchange. I think it's due to the complaint our leaders filed with Mr. Gutneck, the Swiss consul, the time we had some bad fish, and several of the fellows had ptomaine poisoning. The food is of good quality and fair quantity. There will be no more toasting of bread as all fires are out for the summer. We hope we will not toast bread here again. There's quite a lot of news. An article said the American forces in Australia are being feted and made over more than the Australian or English soldiers. It was an article trying to stir up the English to think the Americans were better thought of by the Australians than they are. Reference was made to the Marshall Islands saying the Americans would be met by force on the other groups. There was another article saying that Turkey, due to the good showing by the Russians during the winter, was about to swing over to the Allied side, and possibly as goes Turkey, so might go the war. Quite an admission for these people. When someone here complains about the food, someone will speak up and say, "Remember the stud and spud in the church?" Charles F. Gregg. Light rain this morning, but clear in the afternoon. Thomas started to work in the garden for Mrs. Allen. News of an anti-British or foreign demonstration provoked by views in paper that foreigners are getting much more food than the Japanese, and also perhaps in retaliation to demonstrations against Japanese in Brazil. All-out offensive started against Bataan Peninsula, and satire about MacArthur appointment as head of Allied Army in Australia. Satirical comments on Roosevelt and the U.S. Navy action in the Caroline Islands. President Manuel Cazon died or probably was killed by U.S. troops. False. Roy Henning. 2 months today is spent in Kobe. Bryant Sterling. The Finn was picked up by the cops today for selling food to us and also suspected of giving out scuttlebutt. They found out about 20 sticks of jelly in his room, which he had trouble convincing them was for his own consumption. 5 or 6 sticks of the jelly was for me, so it can be readily seen how I could sympathize with Al. Guess all they did was possibly to threaten him with confinement. Cops are getting tough all around. Chased me off the back porch today and told me to move my vice. The head guard is a guy who has it in it for all of us. Boys beginning to holler again about the seaweed. I'm getting to like the stuff, especially with salt, pepper, and ketchup on it. Country is hard up every which way. They have taken up the metal light poles in the park and replaced them with wooden ones. Paper is all separated from garbage and reused. Street cleaners are all old women. March 24th, 1942, Harold Brinckerhoff. We have had seaweed for several meals. It's ground then made into string-like noodles. It has an odd taste. Last night, everyone at our table put it on his bread plate. One of the guards came by and Doc McNulty offered him some. We told him we didn't like it and he agreed he didn't either. Charles F. Gregg. Rain keeps pounding away hour after hour. Good day for reading and eating, but nothing to eat. Our food follows the same pattern, but among a few other things is composed of tentacles of squid, octopus, dried and fresh sea slugs, seaweed spaghetti, all kinds of fish, occasionally crab salad, spaghetti, noodles, quartered tomato, chopped up cabbage, a shredded leaf of lettuce, meat patties with no meat, lots of whale meat cooked in various ways, once or twice a month, a egg, piece of beef stew once a week, a curry, very hot, with noodles. Curry is presently used over the fish. However, some of the fish is quite good with an excellent sauce or pan fried. This, in spite of the fact that in the 2 months we've been here, we have had fish every meal but about four. We also have lots of fish eggs and a tasteless vegetable, much like celery or rhubarb, in cellular structure. Mustard greens, spinach, mandarins occasionally, and once half an apple, a substitute coffee for breakfast with a little sugar sometimes, soup in a cup at lunch, and unsweetened tea for dinner. Also a butter ball of whale fat or substance with our bread. Recently, we have been able to buy a limited amount of tomato ketchup, which helps change the seasoning. A few cans of peaches, figs, mandarins, etc. Have also been purchased, but they have little or no sugar in them. Today was Jay Thomas's birthday, Jim Thomas. Fellows gave him bread, butter, etc. as gifts. Roy Henning. Rainy all day, no exercise periods. George went shopping and bought tangerines in jars, peas and butter, Gross and Blackwell preserves, went in on the cost, amounted to 2.87 yen my share. Bean sprout substituted for seaweed by restaurant, good chow the past few days. Had an onion sandwich tonight, wow, Bryant Sterling. Bill Falvey told me to save a slice of bread at breakfast as he had something special for me. This I did and presented myself at Bill's room. Indeed, it was something special. A slice of real hot ham tucked away between my bread and a cup of hot coffee. No chance of my ever forgetting that sandwich. Ham in this country is mighty scarce. Heat and Joyce, which I'm not sure what that means. March 25th, 1942, Harold Brinkerhoff. One night there was a very obnoxious, loudmouthed tomcat on the prowl. His music was not appreciated. It was decided to remedy the condition. A barrel was fixed so the top, when walked on, would tip, precipitating Mr. Tom into the barrel. The trap was baited with a strong fish Mr. Tom could not resist. Very soon, a plop was heard, and Mr. Tom was caught. A gunny sack was held and the lid slightly raised. Mr. Tom, like a shot from a gun, was in the sack. From the sack, he was transferred to the proverbial boot. In less time than that can be told, he was stripped of his masculinity. On being released, he stood with a wondering look in his eye, hardly realizing the change in his physical makeup. With a bound, he was gone. His mistress, Mrs. Allen, was later heard to remark she didn't know what could have happened to Mr. Tom, as he's no longer strayed, but always underfoot, and his voice was very much subdued. Charles F. Gregg. Played ball again this morning, and our team won the first of the Small World Series, 7-0. Carl West and a few of the boys are catching colds. Roy Henning. Had rice sprouts substituted for SOS seaweed in meals. Nice sunny day. Took sun bath in the courtyard and in the park. Bryant Sterling. Played ball in the park, came back, shaved and washed the shirt. Had a fine bath, plenty of hot water for a change. March 26, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. We have thought of another place for our shark operation if we want to wait until after the war. That is New Caledonia. Sharks abound there, the climate is better, and it's closer to Guam and Honolulu. I found in a Japanese business journal that the Japs produced 49 million feet of shark leather in 1939. We've talked to the following locations. Gulf of Lower California, Coiba. Oh, hold on. Yesterday and today were quite cold again. Before leaving Zen Sushi, we were issued Japanese overcoats, and those not receiving overcoats were given army cots. We were just ordered to turn these in. I'm coming down with a cold. I am put out that after all the cold weather, I get a cold. Brunton and I are studying German. I dropped the Spanish as we couldn't get enough books. Charles F. Gregg. More rain and wind from the north, thus considerably colder again. We were allowed to have a fire for the first time in about 2 weeks. Roy Henning. My birthday. Chuck Gregg gave me a slice of his bread for a present. Thought I would have spent this day at home with Ma and Pa this year. Bet my folks have a cake baked for me at home. Had a fantastic sandwich of relish tonight. Bryant Sterling. Woke up with a cough and a slight cold. Seem to get one whenever I take a bath. Art went to town today on the shopping tour. Couldn't buy any food to speak of. Asked him to get me a can of coffee, expecting the imitation coffee that cans can be used in hot water, but instead of that, he buys real coffee that has to be boiled and with no way to boil it. Costs 1.1 yen a pound. Everything is adulterated or imitation in this country. They even have to slip some substitute coffee beans in with the real beans when they ground it. On top of that, they merely crack the stuff instead of grinding it. Boy, if I ever get out of this place, it'll be a long time before I get my feet off of home soil. This is sure cure for the itchy foot, at least for me.
March 27th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Cold north wind. Had to collect and return all the Japanese Army overcoats, which had been loaned to the men. Fred was taken to the hospital to see if he could get iron ammonium citrate, which he needs due to the loss of his spleen. Several other men now have colds, and this afternoon it has hit me. Roy Henning. Weather has gone to cold again. Have to give up our overcoats. Wash socks and shorts. Reading about clothing, suits, and houses. Bryant Sterling. Woke up with a cold worse and my lips swollen up due to colds. Reminds me of Jay, who has had the same trouble. I got some cold tablets from Durham and stayed in bed most of the afternoon. 10 men in bed sick with colds. This is probably due to the weather that has turned very cold suddenly and with no fires in the house. Grub scarce again. Bill says they can send him home any day now. After talking with Don about the fine canned Planters peanuts we could buy in Guam, he said half pouting and with trembling lips, "Gee, wish I had some peanuts." Brazil nuts, 2.5 yen per pound, and 3 years old. Fine cup of coffee from Bill Falvey. The coffee powder he had came already sweetened. March 28, 1942, Harold Brinkerhoff. I had chills and a fever last night, but feel a little better today. I awoke with a splitting headache, but it is nearly gone. I heard someone remark that at least half of the young fellows working for the contractors went to Guam to avoid the draft. They really jumped from the frying pan into the fire. Perhaps they are better off than in the Army. I've wondered several times if Tom got out of the Philippines and where Paul is sailing these days. Japanese made quite a stink of MacArthur escaping to Australia. They said he was a coward and a traitor to his men. He seems to have been the only one who has been able to stand before the Japanese onslaught. Perhaps he will make it hot for them if they attack Australia. The news is so doctored up, we don't get much of it. Occasionally, they make a statement in rebuttal of some news we have put out. Then we know some action actually took place. The lounging room is always under a smoke screen. 65 cigarettes going at one time. I'll be glad when I can stay outside, out of the smoke. There was an inspector here, and he said we would be permitted to ride home shortly. I ordered a silk shirt with my initials on it. It will cost 6.5 yen. Roy Henning. Very cold yet. Many fellows in bed with colds. Cherry blossoms out on trees in the front yard. Very pretty. Reading more about gardening, hothouses, etc. Bath day.
Bryant Sterling. Japanese inspector came in today and told us we would soon be able to communicate with home. This didn't cheer us up much, as it meant they weren't going to send us home right away. However, this guy didn't look very important to us, so we didn't take it one way or the other. He might have been an outhouse inspector for all we know. Article in the paper asking American nationals to register for transportation home. This applied to businessmen here in this vicinity. We've already registered. Bill under the weather due to the cold. 72 bottles of ketchup coming tomorrow. One for each man. This seems to be the only commodity least bit plentiful around here. Guess the Japanese don't like this stuff. Tried to negotiate some onions from Fujitasa, the Japanese cook here. March 29th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. I feel rocky today. I have a chest cold, and my head aches and my eyes water. There's a great many down with colds. I guess about everyone has a cold due to the extreme changes in the weather. One day it'll be warm. The next north wind will come up and it'll turn cold. Roy Henning. Most miserable day in this place yet. Up half last night with my cold that came back on me the worst so far. In fact, a cold has never made me feel so lousy as this one. Raining all day. Most of the guys seem to be in the dumps, or else it's the way I feel. Five or six fellows have started to make duffel bags out of their Guam hammocks, but not me, as I plan on Jay having the one I've got. However, prowled around and find quite a bit of canvas belonging to the mission and figure on making a couple of knapsacks tomorrow. Made the needle today, and I'll make a plan tomorrow. March 30th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. In bed with a fever and March 30th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. In bed with fever and You know, I gotta tell you, it's tough reading some of these original writings, especially as their nutrition depleted and their handwriting got pretty lousy. So let me start again. Charles F. Gregg. In bed with fever and one swell case of grip. Every bone in my body ached. My muscles are sore. My throat is raw. Eyes are aching, bloodshot and sunken. Not much coughing or discharge from my nose, but severe headache, especially in temples and across lower forehead. Blood vessels almost falling out of my skin. Was able to get up for meals on Saturday, but not on Sunday. Fever broke Sunday night, and I'm up and around with a running nose today, feeling muchly in need of a bath, which I can't have until Wednesday. These colds reached epidemic proportions. 16 men down Sunday morning. Over 25 men have been sick to date in our group. Conklin, Wells, Vaughn, Houston, Oppenborn, some other fellows have been particularly decent in bringing up meals, fixing hot tea, etc. Oh yes, in our room we have a 4-drawer wardrobe, 44 inches by 30 inches by 16 inches, in which I store my worldly possessions in the first 3 drawers. Carl uses the 4th and his trunk, which he was able to keep with him. In one of the drawers is my kitchen, composed mainly of utensils and a little food. Now I have 2 teacups, a teapot, several glasses, a bread knife sharpened down from the paper knife I found in the Guam jail, a USN tablespoon, several glasses in which canned fruit came. We also have a breadboard, a writing table, a very handy item, piece of wood 14 by 24 inches. Item in yesterday's paper that President Quezon and his cabinet are now in Australia. Saturday's paper had given a large play to his assassination by U.S. troops. A rumor also came in that a boat was coming for all us Americans around the 1st of May. We hope. Note, March 30th, 1942. My diary was hidden by inserting it in between layers of cardboard and leather in the suitcase as a precaution. News of a general house shakedown leaked into the camp. Also, by hiding this first part of the diary, I hope to get it out of Japan when we leave on the forthcoming exchange. Harold Brinkerhoff. There have been several reports, but mostly wishful thinking. There was a report that there were to be 2 ships in the last of April to evacuate all Americans. There's a lot of credence being placed on dreams by some of the fellows. There's one fellow, Ed Maxim, a most unusual character, who's having all sorts of dreams. Some of them are very comical. How he can twist his interpretation to show we're going home is really funny. No doubt, the dreamy one is Maxim, one of the contractors. I feel much better. My cough has loosened up. I awoke 3 times during the night in a sweat. The Japs are getting very chintzy. We're only allowed lights during meals and a fire only by special permission. It rained all day yesterday, but has been cleared today. We have been supplied quite a lot of ketchup. There was a fellow down from the other house. He said there is a fellow there now who was a Navy reserve. He was left at Sanssouci. The Japs decided he was a civilian, so they sent him on here. Before he left, some Marines from Wake Island were brought there. They put up a good scrap and were not taken on the first assault. They killed 4,000 Japs and lost 125 Marines and 50 contractors. There was a cruiser and several destroyers. They sunk 11 Jap troop transports. The island was taken 15 days later, so the story goes. There were 1,400 Marines and 800 contractors. The contractors were taken to Shanghai. Some of our men think we will be taken there if we are not exchanged. Roy Henning. Still fighting off a cold, hasn't got me yet. Sun out this morning, but gone again. Doing lots of reading. March 31st, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Now that our internment is about over, I hope, it's about time to start a daily log giving a few happenings, quote-unquote, blind. The siege of sickness suffered by the group the past week is slowly abating, but some 15 are still in bed. I've been getting up for meals yesterday and today, but I'm very weak and my nose runs incessantly. Oppenborn, Conklin, and Penning are in bed today. Grant Wells is due to have baby in the last part of March. I had a dream. It was twin daughters. Harold Brinkerhoff. March came in like a lamb, and all indications are it'll go out the same way. I got a jelly glass of plum jam for 46 cents. It's put up with salt. I can't say it's very good, but it isn't too bad as a ketchup. It's next to impossible to get anything sweet. All real jams or jellies are rationed. I bought a bottle of Japanese Worcestershire sauce for 24 cents. The bottle was almost an exact duplicate of ours. Each person got one. I wish they would bring in something that would appease our hunger rather than wet it. Excuse me. There are still a number of fellows down with colds. I have fought mine off pretty well. Roy Henning. Very cold. static electricity when I comb my hair. Sun out, and it's a little warm in the afternoon. No butter yesterday and grease balls today. Spanish class.
And this concludes episode 18 of the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye now.